Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The soulful sounds of Brent Carter is on the line from Atlanta, G, I believe. Mr. Carter, a very good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, good afternoon. It's afternoon here on the East Coast.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You sound like you just woke up, though. Were you out late last night or what?
No, I had a gig last night in New York.
All right, I'm sorry, I'm stepping on you. Of course, Brent Carter, former lead singer of Tower of Power, and now he's with the Average White Band. What's it like being a black guy lead singing for the Average White Band?
Well, the same as it is being a black guy singing lead for Tower of Power. You're still the only black guy in the group, so it's the same thing. But you know what? The truth is that, you know, like AWB, that kind of music was played heavily on R&B radio in New York. Mm-hmm. It's heavily, you know, sampled by all of the hip-hop artists, too. So, you know, music is music. It really is all the same.
Okay. Music is music. Are you impressed with Deontay Wilder, our current heavyweight hope here in the United States?
I think I'm impressed with him as a guy. I like him as a man. It just doesn't seem like the level of competition, you know, is what it once was. You know, so I think, you know, he's definitely got the size of the guys that are heavyweights from today. I mean, the guys 30 years ago, you know, a heavyweight, you could be heavyweight champion and be Joe Frazier size, yeah. 206, you know, and Joe Louis was 196. So he's definitely got the size and the reach. But I don't know. I think he's good. And that's what I can say.
He's fought, he's like 36-0 with like 35 guys like you and me, or probably lesser. He's fought one guy, Bermain Stiverne. That's probably about it. And he's talking about now fighting Tyson Fury. If Tyson Fury gets by Vladimir Klitschko in that rematch, I think they're supposed to have in June.
I think
July.
He could beat Tyson Fury. But Tyson Fury doesn't seem like much of a fighter to me either.
But Tyson Fury, go on. Go on, Brent.
Yeah, I'm just not really, Tyson Fury, he's awkward, he's got heart, but to me, he just doesn't seem like, I mean, he fought Klitschko. Klitschko is 160 now. He stays in great shape, but, you know, I don't know. I don't think that any of these guys could handle, who's the guy from England?
Anthony Joshua.
I'm talking about the guy. I don't know why I can't think of his name. He had the dreadlocks. What's from Jamaica?
David Haye.
You know,
David Haye.
No. Oh, I don't know. I'm seeing his face, and I can't think of his name. I just don't think he fought in the 90s.
Interesting. You know. Okay.
He got. Oh man, I guess it's just. You
having a mental fart here. Brent Carter's
Lennox Lewis. Lennox Lewis. None of these guys could fight like a Lennox Lewis. I don't think any of them could fight a young Lennox Lewis.
You know what's funny? You bring up Lennox Lewis. I remember after he fought David Tua, Emmanuel Stewart brought me right in the dressing room with him, gave me some title belt to wear, to hold on to, and we ran back in the dressing room. So I watched him disengage after a fight, you know, come down. It was really something to watch, man. 15 minutes of him just bringing himself down. I won. He didn't touch me. He's talking to himself, going through all this stuff. Of course, Lennox retired after that tough fight with Vitaly Klitschko. That was probably Vitaly Klitschko's big day in the sun. But, you talked about the murderer's row and the fact that they aren't seen there. There was guys like Ron Law and Ernie Shavers and people like that, Jerry Corey.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they're not there as far as the heavyweights are concerned. But, you know, maybe boxing isn't, how can I say, it used to be he who controls the heavyweight champion controls boxing. Well, maybe that's changed a little bit because, you know, since the heavyweight championship went off to Europe, it's really not an American product anymore. It's really not. It's like a European product. So,
yeah, you're right. And that's the other thing. Like, I mean, if you think about it, guys like, say, a Joe Louis or Joe Frazier, every neighborhood had their best boxer. And the best athletes were boxing. And if you were the best fighter in New York, you had to whip a whole bunch of backside to become the best fighter in New York, and then the best fighter in your region. If you're the best heavyweight in New York now, you know, the heavyweight champion of New York, who is that? You know what I mean? It's so the level of competition, you're not fighting against the toughest guys and who have all put in years. You have guys who will become professional boxers now. I started boxing at 22 years old, and then I won a local belt, and now I'm fighting for a title. Back then, guys started boxing at 13 and 14 years old, you know, and had a whole bunch of – and were fighting – by the time they fought for a heavyweight title, they had 50 fights under their belt. We're amongst the best guys in, you know – in the region and in the nation. So, you know, for a guy to become a, you know, fight for heavyweight title now, some of these guys, they've only been fighting a couple of years. You know, some of them don't even throw a left hook, you know what I mean? Don't punch to the body, to the head, you know. So, well, maybe I'm just old-fashioned. I don't know.
You got a good point. Brent Carter's our guest, and they don't throw to the body. I just don't get that. I mean, it was so effective for me. I remember walking into some guy and fainting up to the head, and he covered up his head, and I went crack right to the ribs, walked away. That was it. That was it. Crack right to the ribs, yeah. Right below the, and that was it. Just one easy punch, and people don't want to sacrifice for that. But the reason that that this is not happening nowadays, Brent, is that there are no real teachers anymore. I mean, the old black brother used to teach me here in San Francisco, Jimmy Lester, or the old middleweight used to work with us, Tommy Elder, and people like that. I mean, Charlie Smith. These guys aren't around anymore. When you go to the gyms, there's a lot of guys like, golly gee whiz, I'm a fitness guy. You know what I mean? I'm also a trainer.
Right.
You know, that just doesn't – I prefer the guy that's got a little scar tissue over his eye.
Right. And also, I think that also, you know, one of the things that plays into it is there's a lot of easier ways to get out of the ghetto now. You know what I mean? You know, in the 40s and 30s, you had Irish fighters and Italian fighters and black fighters and all these guys fighting to get out of the neighborhood. And, you know, I mean, for better or worse, you know, people can get out and go to college now. Or they can make money in other sports. You know, the best athletes, you know, why do you have to fight people when you can go and get on a basketball court and possibly make millions of dollars? I mean, the best basketball players now make way more than the best boxers. If you think about Muhammad Ali in the 80s, he made way more than any basketball player. Now boxers, you know, basically the only boxer that's really making that kind of money is Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. Know? And I really don't want to see any more of Floyd Mayweather. I've had enough of him. I really don't. I think he should pay me to watch his fights. I really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and especially Brent, he's fighting guys that are, you know, like Andre Berto, and then he fought the little Filipino racist or the bigot, and of course, anti-gay, talk about Manny Pacquiao.
Yes.
And he had one arm. He went in there with a torn rotator cuff. So, I mean, Floyd Mayweather has done really nothing to impress me for the past few years, at the very least. And if you go back,
that's true. But I will say this about Floyd Mayweather, and that's why I hesitate to say something about the current heavyweights. I remember when Larry Holmes was champ. Everyone said he couldn't carry Ali's jockstrap. And then when Tyson was fighting, everyone said he wouldn't be able to do this. He couldn't beat this guy for nothing. And years later, everyone talks about what a great fighter they were. And I remember watching Tyson when he was young. And, you know, he'd throw, like, three shots to them. He didn't just come out knocking people out like people remember. He would punch to the body, three, four, five, combination to the body, and then hit you in the head when your hands drop. And, you know, now people look back on him and say what a great fighter he was. And back when he was really, you know, with Rooney. But, in 10 or 15, you know, a lot of people now, I hear them talking on the radio, talking about that Mayweather. Who did he beat? I think in 10 or 15 years, people are going to talk about what a great fighter Mayweather was.
Even though he handpicked his competition and, you know, these two super fights, 2007 with De La Hoya, that stunk, okay? And then
right,
the next super
true.
Fight with Manny Pacquiao, that one stunk really bad, too. So these fights that are supposed to pull the squares over into watching the sport of boxing. Let me put it to you like this. I think if a Martian came down here from another planet, and he snuck into the MGM Grand to see Floyd Mayweather's fight against Manny Pacquiao, I don't think he would have came back to see the Andre Berto fight, even if it was free.
No. Well, it wasn't like Sugar Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns fight number one. I mean, it wasn't that.
Well,
you never got that much out. You never got that out of him.
Speaking of,
but he didn't get hit, and he could move. He, you know, nice footwork. He always moved good.
Speaking of Leonard Hearns, we'll talk after the break about the next super fight in boxing, folks, the Crusher. I'm talking about Sergey Kovalev, of course, the 33-year-old, turned 33 yesterday, the WBO light heavyweight champion, best 175-pounder on the planet. Going to put it all on the line later this year in Oakland, California, the home of Tower of Power. Going to put it all on the line against Andre Ward, 2004 Olympic gold medalist. Battle of the Unbeaten. They'll have one fight on HBO each, I think, on the same card to set up this big mega pay-per-view probably in December or November. But I'm telling you, Brent, we'll talk about that after break. But I think that is the next super fight as far as
boxing. I'm looking forward to that one.
All right. Let me tell you this. Could Joe Louis, you talked about Joe Louis real quick before we go to a bit break. Could Joe Louis compete today? Give it to me quick.
Yeah, as a cruiserweight, yes.
Exactly. Brent Carter's on the line, folks. He is the lead singer for AWE, the man with the soulful voice. Back to spend some time with Brent here, of course, on iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, iTunes.com, Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, and, of course, SportsByline.com. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hey, but you know it!
Experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like they did for these Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can have your website built for free and up and running in as little as 7 days. Plus, promote your site on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call now to get your website built for free. If after 30 days you're happy with your new website, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for just one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call 855-254-SITE, 855-254-SITE. 855-254-7483 or go to web.com/radio. There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back, like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days, and anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
There's only one Mayweather. There's only one Mayweather. He talks the talk and he walks the walk, walking to the money land.
What's that supposed to be, some kind of sick joke?
When all else fails, I got to groove.
40 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the line from Atlanta, GA. You still living in Atlanta?
No, I'm in New York.
In New York now?
Yeah.
You know, Atlanta, when I was in Atlanta for the Holyfield fight, I think in 1999 or 2000, something like that, Holyfield and Vaughn Bean, I thought that if Atlanta, if all the black people in Atlanta decided not to go to work, the city wouldn't work. Sort of like the Mexicans out here in California. They could just shut that down, Brent.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Brent Carter.
You know, it really is a nice city. It's a great place.
Brent Carter's our guest, of course, the lead singer of The Average White Band. What's happening with this new album now? You guys have got a new album out, and you're obviously the lead singer. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, it's called AWB R&B, and it's a live CD. And it was just released a couple of weeks ago. It's mostly songs that the band has done before, except for I Want You, the Marvin Gaye song. I was singing it at a sound check, and the people there loved it. So we worked it up and started doing it in the show, and the audiences have loved it. So that's the one new song on the new CD. But it's an AWB live CD with the current lineup of the band, which is kind of exciting because, you know, I'm just a guy from Left Rack City in New York, Queens. And I've done a live CD with Tower Power and Average White Band. I never would have dreamed that in my life. So, you know, I'm excited about it. And I think it sounds pretty good, too.
The Tower of Power album, like 1998, I think, of course, Soul Vaccination. That was taped both in Stockton here in the city, right? They combined both venues for that album?
Yeah, it was in Stockton. Some of the stuff was from San Francisco. It was from about four or five shows on this tour we did. One of the stops was in Oakland. You know, we had the remote and we were recording. So they just took the best songs from about four or five shows and made the CD out of it.
You had a big band, a 10-person band with Tower of Power. These guys, now you guys are a six-man group. Does that make it smaller? Does it make it intimate? Is there more money involved per person?
Yes, there's a little bit more money involved. But then again, we don't work as much as Tower of Power. You know, so Tower of Power, you know, in order to keep that machine running, they had to work a lot. And they still, you know, they work a lot. You know, sometimes four or five gigs a week, you know, and we don't tour as hard, but you know, there's more money per person, but you know, but they have enough work where they, you know, they keep the money going pretty good.
Do Emilio and Doc, do they want to die like Carl Willenda, the guy that fell in between those buildings, walking in between those two buildings in Puerto Rico? Do they want to die on stage?
I think so. Well, Doc's famous saying is, you know, people don't, retire from music, the phone stops ringing, and their phone is still ringing. So as long as the phone's still ringing, they're going to keep working. And we were out with them last week, and it was their newest singer, you know, because I did a gig with Tower Power like 3 weeks ago.
I heard about
because
that.
The last singer got a gig with Santana. So
So the young brother they cultivated, Greg Green's left for Santana.
Yes, he's gone. But let me tell you what, they got this new young kid named Marcus out of Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's his first show. He's green, but I'm going to tell you what, I think this dude might wind up being the best singer the band's ever had. And I'm not just saying that. This kid can really go. He's a great soul singer. He really, I'm telling you, because, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, singers that come to the band. Some are great entertainers. Some are really good singers. This kid is Ellis Hall was a phenomenal singer. You know, and Larry Bragg was a great entertainer, you know, just a great entertainer. This kid is a crazy singer, and I think he's going to be a great entertainer, too. I'm dead serious. This kid is the truth.
Man, but they were banking so much on Ray Green. I'm telling you, Emilio was just going crazy. Oh, talk so many accolades for Ray Green. And Ray
Let
Green,
me tell you something.
What?
Have you met Ray Green? Did you meet Ray Green?
I met him one time, real briefly.
He is probably the nicest person you'll ever meet in your life. He is, I mean, he's really, you know, I used to tell him, man, you can't be so nice. He'd make me look like a bad person because he's just a wonderful guy, you know, and he's a blessing to be around. You know, he'll that's the type of person you can never replace. He's just a really good dude, great singer, but just what an awesome person he is.
You know, I was listening
I'll tell anybody that.
I was listening to NPR radio at KPFA this morning on the way in from the East Bay. And I heard Chester Thompson. Of course, Chester Thompson was with Santana, was a keyboard player with Tower of Power. And now he's basically on his own. He's trying to start small bands and things like that. What happens when you lose a major gig? I mean, like a big gig like Santana, you sort of get dumped or as they go in another direction. What is that?
You know what? I don't know. You know what? That's a scary thought for me, especially if you're not like 32 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I guess the good thing about him is that he's a musical icon,
mm-hmm.
and Chester has a great name. He's a great player. But it's probably tough, though. I mean, hopefully, working with Santana, you know, you do a gig like that for a few years, you put enough money away that you can, you know, keep it moving. But basically, I know in New York, if you're on a big gig and you're making a lot of money, you just got to do regular gigs. You know, you do corporate gigs. You know, you get, you know, in New York, you know, I do corporate gigs. You might, you're liable to sing with anybody on a gig. One of the girls in my band, she was an incognito, and now she's, she subbed out last night because she's a singer on Dancing with the Stars. So I do corporate gigs when I'm not with AWB or Regina Bell or whoever.
Yeah,
doing my own stuff. So just got to keep working.
Would you be hiring Floyd Mayweather to do any backup singing for you?
Yeah, he sounded like I'm Donny Hathaway in that thing.
Yeah, right. Oh, how could you insult the great Donny Hathaway? He's rolling over in his grave right now. Did Brent Carter really say that?
I think Donny Hathaway is laughing. Donny Hathaway is the best that ever did it. Nobody ever came close to him.
He was an amazing, amazing voice.
Except for Layla, his daughter.
Okay. We were talking about heavyweights a little bit earlier, and you mentioned Larry Holmes. I happen to think that Larry Holmes was the only heavyweight that could have fought in any era and won. I think he could beat the big guys. He was just a little bit bigger than Ali, a little bit thicker than
Ali.
Exactly.
I was just having. It's funny you said that. I was just having that conversation last week. He was the prototype. But you know what though? Think about it. George Foreman too, because George Foreman was big and had that. And think of what his jab was like. That piston like jab that he had, like in 1971. You know, I think George Foreman could fight the guys from today because he had the size, he had the height, he had a jab, and he had the power.
You know what, Brent? I used to watch him in the gym, 66, 67, him getting out of the Job Corps in Newark, California. It was over near Hayward, California. You know where that's at. And he came over to Newman's gym, and I watched him the first couple of days. He was in the gym. You know, George Foreman is a big brute. And then after he sort of won the Golden Gloves in 67, you know, the Golden Gloves here in San Francisco, he became a bully. And he was beating up on guys who were like 165, 170 pounds, and he was launching them out of the ring. I mean, it wasn't pretty, and these guys are getting paid like $5 a round, and to them, they needed the money. You know what I'm saying? So that's why they were doing it. So they needed the money. But George would just punch these guys. He hit guys in the back of the head. He hit Joe Frazier.
He banged him in the back of the head.
Yeah, he banged him in the back of the head. So, you know, he's a bit of a dirty fighter. But, you know, George is George, two-time heavyweight champion, of course, the man that made it. Can you believe he sold those grills for $225 million?
Yes, and that they offered that gig to what's his name first, who turned it down, the wrestler.
Which one?
Name? The one?
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan. They offered that to him. He had the choice between that and the Hulk Hogan smoothie machine, and he picked the smoothie machine. So they went with George Foreman.
Do you think Hulk Hogan was in his rights with getting that big lawsuit against Gawker?
I think that he deserved to win the lawsuit. But I don't think that $100 million, I think that's a little bit high. Not when cops beat the hell out of people and shoot them and the family gets $100,000. I don't think him screwing his best friend's wife is worth $100 million.
Are you surprised that the country's sort of taking a backward step now that people are getting shot more in the back? And you know, they're trying to say that, oh, it's the video cameras. No. This stuff happened before video cameras.
No. Oh, yeah. It's just because of video cameras, you know, it's coming to light now. This has been happening forever, but you know, the direction that the country's going, it doesn't surprise me at all. Like with people supporting a Donald Trump, you know, when we have people who young people, you know, today can think of, you know, we live in a 160 character world where people don't want to listen to anything, don't have the time to sit down and break down anything. Everything has to be done quickly, you know. So you know, people like a Donald Trump. That's why people don't really like boxing as much. People don't want to see people boxing. I mean, I don't have a problem with MMA, but people want to see stuff happen right away. That's why baseball's done. People don't have the time to sit down and think about something and actually enjoy it or enjoy the art form. That's why a lot of music is a lot simpler. Everything is being dumbed down, basically, today.
Well, I think that had to do with the fact that the college-educated group of the 1960s sort of turned this world upside down as far as the anti-war establishment and things like that. You know, if movement and things like that were concerned. Let me ask you about this. Sergey Kovalev and Andre Ward. I think this is like the Tommy Hearns and Sugar Ray Leonard of 2016. Both these guys are unbeaten. I mean, Kovalev.
Andre Ward, he moves so good, and I love him, but he doesn't really look like a real light heavyweight to me yet. And that other guy hits like Bob Foster, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, he hits hard. He's accurate, too. But then again, you know, when he beat, I can't think of it. You know, What is wrong with me today?
I don't know.
Fighter, 50 years old from Philadelphia.
Bernard Hopkins.
But when he beat him, he was 175 years old, you know. So it'll be a lot more difficult to hit Ward. But Ward is a beautiful fighter, man. He seems to me to be the last great American fighter.
Good point. You know, back to Kovalev for a second. When he fought Nathan Cleverly for the 175-pound WBO belt, I think it was over in the U.K., Cleverly comes back after the first round. He sits down. He goes, he looks up at his trainer. He goes, he hits hard.
Right. Oh, God.
You know,
He looks like he needs to be arrested after he beats people in the ring. You know, he looks like he's out there beating people up. He didn't, you know, and he can box, but he looks like he enjoys, you know, whooping somebody's backside. And he's a fighter that seemed like he would be fighting in the light heavyweight division in the 70s against like Yaki Lopez and those guys. He's a great fighter. I enjoy watching him, and I think that's going to be a good fight to see what Ward can bring to that.
You know, you brought up Bob Foster. Bob Foster passed a few months ago, of course. He and I were together in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I was doing fights down there for Lenny Frescas, and we were at the International Boxing Hall of Fame in the early 1990s, and Bob was telling me in one room, I said, Archie Moore's in the other room. He said, oh, screw Archie Moore. I said, he couldn't hit me. He couldn't hit me in the ass with a ping pong paddle. Make it a tennis racket, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I went in.
He passed away.
Yeah, I went in the other room and told Archie that. Big mistake. Uh-huh. Big mistake. Archie starts taking off his hat. Takes off his clothes. He's taking off his cufflinks. You know what I'm saying? I'm going.
He's still ready to go.
He's ready to go, man. And I'm going, oh, what did I do here? So I'm begging. I'm going. Well, maybe I was just joking. I mean, you shouldn't joke like that, son. You shouldn't joke like. Whoa. I mean, Archie went off on me also in Richmond, California. I was interviewing George Foreman for a pay-per-view telecast, and Archie thought he was getting good interview, but they only gave me 7 minutes on this satellite. Okay. So I had to do it all with Foreman. And when the 7 minutes were gone, you know, Archie came up to me. He got nose to nose. Where is my interview? So the old mongoose was a bit of a monster, no question about that.
It's great that I can't believe you've met Bob Foster, Muhammad Ali, Archie Moore. I mean, Archie Moore, what a great fighter. What a great fighter. And you actually talked to him. I would love to be screamed at nose to nose by Archie Moore.
Well, I was
an honor.
I was a little intimidated.
I bet you were. Heck, I'm sure he can still slip and crack you pretty good.
Well, I remember when Eddie Futch was 69 years old, he left hook that guy and broke his jaw in the parking lot of Caesar's Palace. That guy tried to rob him.
Doesn't surprise me at all. That's awesome, though. But I didn't know that Bob Foster. Could you imagine a Bob Foster fighting today? I mean, he fought Frazier, and you know Frazier caught up. But he was a great fighter.
He only lost to heavyweights.
Right. Exactly. He could bang. But this Sergio, he reminds me of him. When you see him in the ring, you know, the way he hits and the way he can hit, where he can lay it down, you know. So
I got a little less than a minute, Brent. I'm going to cut you off here. Tell me what's happening with AWB. Are you guys on tour? Are you guys coming out here anytime soon?
We're going to be in California in June. I know we're doing the Napa Jazz.
Okay.
And we might be doing something in the Bay Area the day after, which would be like the 11th of June. We may be up in the Bay Area. But we were just in Palm Springs with Tower Power last week. But we're going to be out there over the summer. We have a few dates out there for sure.
Brent Carter, you can follow him on Facebook or BrentCarter.com. Brent, you're the greatest, man. I thank you so much for your expertise
it's
and the time you spent with me.
To you, man. All righty. Great talking to you. Have a great day, man. And I'll catch up with you soon.
The great Brent Carter. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.